Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, simply the best for less at windowskansascity.com.
So many times we look for the perfect phrase, the perfect word, the perfect description of something we saw in sports that can't be described. This time, on one magical Sunday night, there are no words. The Kansas City Chiefs won the greatest football game ever played, and they advance to the AFC title game next week against the Cincinnati Bengals. Stan Weber will join us to talk about something we've never seen before. We thought we'd seen it this weekend. We saw KU come back from a 16-point deficit and beat Kansas State in a thrilling basketball game. And at Kansas State, women's basketball, Aoka Lee scored 61 points to set the college basketball scoring record. Amazing. What a weekend of sports. It's all brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Folks that shop at Roberts Robinson find new vehicles and say, "We just make it easy." It's what they do. Online at robertsrobinson.com. And Chevrolet, find new roads. Marion Body Shop, my man Justin over there would love to hook you up. Fix your fender bender, any body problems you have with your car, scratches, dents, perfect. The new car image does complete custom detailing. It's all under one great company. MerriamBodyShop.com, I-35 and Johnson Drive in Merriam. And 360 Document Solutions, online at 360documentsolutions.com. It's your go-to company to help your company. IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems, you name it, they do it. Great copiers, all things you need to make your business run better. 360documentsolutions.com. Stan Weber joins us. There's no other way to say it, folks. I've never seen anything like this. Simply amazing. 13 seconds is all it took to keep the season alive. Hit it.
Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
Well, I don't know what else to do but bring Stan Weber in to make some sense of what we have seen. I think it's the greatest football game I've ever seen. Maybe there are bigger ones. Super Bowls count. But my goodness, these quarterbacks, this game, this theater. 13 seconds to greatness. Stan Weber's with us. Hello, Stan. Good morning. I'm still speechless. I had a good night's sleep. I'm still speechless. What the heck did I just see?
Yeah, you can go so many different ways with this thing. What an amazing roller coaster ride on an amazing NFL week. Last week in the NFL, I was excited because we had two extra playoff games than we used to have in the old days, 3 years ago or so. You know, you had six games. That Monday night game, really looking for some awesome theater, visiting teams to go fight, create some upsets, some memories to be made, and it just turned into a complete dud. It was one of the worst wild card weekends, including when there was only four games, that I've ever seen. But boy, the NFL made up for it this week with four awesome games. And when the first three finished, you're like, the hype game, the one that everyone's looking forward to, is that late afternoon, evening ball game with the Chiefs and Bills, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and the whole thing. There's no way it's going to live up to what we just saw. And then it surpassed it. So here we go. A great week for the NFL and the Chiefs. What an amazing win. I mean, just you look at all-time Chiefs games, and you've got to be tapping up there and having the discussion today with however you go to work. I know maybe on your computer or wherever you're talking to your friends, texting, you know, where does it fit in as the all-time Chiefs great games? I happen to think like the comeback against San Francisco 2 years ago to win the Super Bowl probably would surpass it in my mind because it was the Super Bowl. It was an amazing comeback. But you do have people, Kevin, objective people around the country who've watched a ton of NFL, been on site and been in the studio to watch the greatest games ever, who are claiming that this may have been the greatest game they've ever seen. So the fact that the Chiefs won it allows us, to celebrate the game, the players, and the result.
Well, to me, and a lot of people are saying the only thing Josh Allen did wrong all night was call tails, and that's true. We can get into the NFL and their ridiculous overtime rules. The Chiefs benefited this time. A few years ago, they lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game by losing a coin toss. This clearly was a coin toss game. I hate the overtime rules in the NFL, and it has to be revisited. But we're not going to dwell on that today. This is unbelievable. 44 yards, 13 seconds. 19 yards to Tyreek Hill, 25 yards to Travis Kelce. 13 seconds left in the game. They got a field goal to tie it. They win the coin toss, and they win. There are like 7 billion people on Earth, Stan. With 13 seconds to go, zero of those people, none, not one, thought the Chiefs would win this football game. Nobody. This was the greatest thing I've ever seen, and it was our team. How did these receivers get open? How did Buffalo allow that? Let's just break down those two plays. Hill, then Kelce. How in the world does Buffalo allow that?
Well, let's first of all just talk about the overall game and then get to those two plays. The Chiefs were never stopped. When you're the best NFL defense in 2021, Kevin, that does not mean you're any good at defense, okay? The Buffalo Bills were number one in so many categories, but that doesn't mean it's not a mismatch. The offenses are better than the defenses, especially when you're talking about the elite playing at the elite level. And I thought Patrick Mahomes played at the elite level the whole game. It may have been his greatest game ever just because he played great the whole game. So it comes down to the end. They're just playing to not allow the big play to occur. But what they don't factor in on the first play is that Tyreek Hill on a short pass is the way the Chiefs solve deep play problems. Okay, all you got to do is go back to Alex Smith against the Dallas Cowboys. Do you remember at the 50-yard line right before the half and there was a chance for the Hail Mary?
Yes.
What did they do?
Yeah.
What did they do, Kevin? They didn't throw a Hail Mary up for grabs, which is a legitimate play. No criticism of anybody else. Alex could have got it there and moved around the pocket. But Andy Reid said, no, I'm going to throw a 5-yard quick pass to Tyreek Hill, let our guys get out in front, and see if he can create magic. And he walked it in. He walked in the end zone basically untouched. That's how elite he is. And that 65-yard touchdown pass was the best of Tyreek Hill, where you just throw a little crossing route, barely open, and he flies through the team like it's no big deal. How about the punt return? The kickoff return. It was a punt return, yeah. You know, where he's almost untackleable. So the Chiefs' strategy and the answers they have and the composure they have is super, but the weapons they have are super. So he throws the ball real quickly to Tyreek Hill, and here we go. What's Buffalo doing? They're worried about guarding the 40-yard line at the other end of the field, Kevin. They don't even think about being hurt with a couple of plays. And then Travis Kelce, you know, if I'm the Buffalo Bills, I was literally saying, especially on a second play, but even maybe on the first, you know what I would have done? I would have got up there in front of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and I would have tackled him. I would have got a holding call, 5 yards, automatic first down, and burned 3 plays, 3 seconds.
Yes.
You know how, like, in basketball, it's acceptable now if you're 3 ahead to foul a guy who only gets 2. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Well, I think you tackle Tyreek Hill at the line of scrimmage. You just blatantly tackle him. There's no special that says, well, that's so egregious, we're going to put time back on the clock. I would have burned 2, 3, 8 seconds, whatever, and said, you're not catching the ball.
Yeah.
But it is so hard to guard down the field. You know, what did Buffalo do? Did they throw to Diggs on the big plays, on the fourth downs, you know, down the middle? No, Kevin. They threw into another wide receiver. So you got legitimate guys out there who can make plays. So you can't just guard 3 guys around Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And that's just the numbers game of football. It's crazy. You spread out and play a regular defense, which what theirs was, not only cover 2, but more like a cover 4, and then moved back, thinking there's no way the Chiefs can get 2 plays off. But the first one was pretty easy. Like, give it to Tyreek Hill and let him go. The fact they let Travis Kelce open was probably not a great play. But I thought the announcers, I told you, Kevin, I thought the announcers, I texted you after you texted me and said, they just anointed the Bills with 13 seconds left. I'm going like, you realize how far Butker can kick that ball? And if you watch the Chiefs? So anyway, it was, I thought that was unbelievable that they did that. But anyway, Tyreek Hill, let's just overall, where do I always go back to, Kevin? And it started many years ago when Patrick Mahomes in 2018 didn't get to the Super Bowl, I saw Patrick Mahomes play great, and I thought, wow, I did not expect him to be this sound. After watching him at Texas Tech do the spectacular, I didn't think he'd be this sound running the offense. But I still said to you, and maybe I was wrong, but I said to you something that I still believe today. He and Tyreek Hill make an elite level of play that you just don't see in a National Football League. You had Travis Kelce, and even a couple weeks ago, Kevin, if you had asked me about the playoffs, what did I say about the Chiefs? I think the Chiefs have the best chance and the best team to win the Super Bowl because they have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. That foursome is just not matched in the NFL, and they all were the feature guys down the stretch.
You know, the Hill play was one thing. He had two blockers in front of him. It was a beautifully designed play, and they were giving the Chiefs that. So I get that. The Kelce play, I don't even understand how Travis Kelce could be that open down the seam. You know, you had to protect the middle because the Chiefs have timeouts. They're not playing the edge. They're playing the middle of the field with timeouts. And you're so right. I think eventually what you just described will be the way coaches coach. And I think they'll have to change the rules in the NFL. They'll have to change the timing rules. Because if Buffalo had just tackled the Chiefs receivers at the line of scrimmage instead of allowing passes to be completed, they would have given up 5 yards, but 3 seconds would have gone off the clock. They'd have given up 5 yards. 4 seconds would have gone off the clock. Buffalo would have won the game. Now, nobody's done that before. We've not seen that, but it's coming. They'll study this film in Buffalo. Coaches all over the league will see it and say, you know what? When we're in this spot ever, we'll just tackle the receivers. We'll take our 5-yard defensive holding penalties and win the game, which Buffalo could have done. But I
thought if I were the coach, we'd have done that last night. I swear to you. I mean,
I know.
I was saying it.
I've asked forever. Why don't you do it? Especially in college where pass interference is not a very big penalty. In the NFL, pass interference is. That's not what this is. Just hold them at the line of scrimmage and you win the football game. You win the game. But I thought the coaches in a couple of ways, they kind of played giveaway. I hate to dwell on this. Andy Reid had a chance to go up 9 points late in the fourth quarter. 3rd and 1, he takes Mahomes basically out of the game. Blake Bell is your quarterback. He goes with a gimmick play on 3rd and 1 and loses 3 yards and has to kick a field goal. Stan, I don't get these guys. I swear, they make so much money and they're so good at what they do. Why do they freak out at the biggest moments and do the most monumentally stupid stuff ever? How did the Chiefs get caught up in a game they could win and go up 9 points and probably tuck away without Patrick Mahomes basically on the field? What on earth was going on?
Well, it's such a mind game, Kevin. Do you see how big that sheet is and how small the writing is that Andy Reid has over there on the sideline with him? I mean, they have so many options of plays that it is so hard to pick and choose. And sometimes you think it through and you think it through and you think it through. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt. I'll give you an example of what happened on that play and give you a real life example of how it might work. Okay. Who's the best quarterback, sneaking quarterback in NFL history? Tom Brady. Okay. They had the ball 1 yard away, half yard away against the Rams down near the 10 yard line, 4th down. Everybody knows they're going to quarterback sneak it, and it's the right call. So Tom Brady gets up there ready to quarterback sneak it. The Rams move Aaron Donald and some big boys down and say, well, the one play we're not going to allow you to get is the quarterback sneak. And what did Tampa's offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich, think? You know, they're playing that quarterback sneak so much, let's just run it off tackle to Fournette and see if we can get something. And he walks in the end zone. Everyone's patting them on the back, Kevin. So when Blake Bell went under center, everybody knows this. Patrick Mahomes isn't going to be able to run quarterback sneaks anymore after that injury in Denver. But when Blake Bell stops at the center, what always happens? Quarterback sneak. They overthought it, but they did exactly the same thing Tampa did. They go, let's run something else.
Right.
But, you know, you and I texted you, and then Tony Romo just about said exactly what I wrote to you. If you don't put the ball in your best player's hands in these situations, you just always go home at night shaking your head.
Yes. And let's be honest, Romo was too kind, okay? If they line up and that's Travis Kelce under center and Tyreek Hill is the running back, I could probably live with that. What in the world? A couple of guys that have been on the practice squad this year are out there in the fourth quarter of your season is on the line. I'm amazed at what happens in these games. But, I mean, What unbelievable theater. I was so, at that moment, I was so disappointed. And then Josh Allen was great, Stan. This guy is a great player. We've got years and years of this. God willing, we all live long enough to watch these quarterbacks. The three best quarterbacks in the AFC were still playing as of yesterday. Patrick Mahomes, and then Burrow and Allen will have a debate over which one's better. Just bullets, just guys that can play. And as I'm watching this, I'm just thinking about older quarterbacks, Joe Montana, who we saw so well here in Kansas City, Peyton Manning, retired guys, watching this game going, wow, I was pretty good. But look at this stuff these young guys are doing. They're rewriting the game, Stan. I've never seen anything like it. And they've got ice water in their veins. They are not afraid. They're so good. I cannot believe how good the quarterback play is. Like watching Tom Brady yesterday stand in the pocket, not be able to move, and just, you know, Brady's the greatest of all time, but he doesn't look like he belongs in today's game. As crazy as that is to say, he doesn't belong. These quarterbacks are so much better.
Yeah, these guys played flawless games with their accuracy. Josh Allen, that's the question I had going into the game. He has all the potential to run and make plays. That fired ball downfield for a 75-yard touchdown in one play, that's what he can do. He can do that all day long. He can gun the ball over everybody and throw with some accuracy. But can he throw the RPO accurately over the middle? Can he throw the mid-range ball and just stick it on him every time? We see it with Patrick Mahomes, but he did last night. Josh Allen was accurate, and his velocity is outrageous. His running was strong, even though the Chiefs did a pretty good job of limiting the running. And I thought that was one of the keys. Would the running backs for Buffalo be a factor running the ball? And the Chiefs said, no, you're not going to win that game that way. So Josh Allen had to go to the spectacular fourth down plays. You know, the stress that these teams put on you and how good these guys are is when you have the ball 20-25 yard line, fourth and double digits, it is very unlikely you're going to get a first down. And instead, they're getting a touchdown, Kevin, a touchdown. And you're just going, how can this be? But you've got to guard every blade of grass all over the field against these guys. And then you got to worry about doing it for a long time in combination with the other players you have. And you got to worry about those guys running as well. So it was just amazing. I just think, you know, one theme that I want to throw out there to make sure that it gets said, because the greatness was so unbelievable all night long. The last 2 minutes were off the charts, all of that back and forth. But the one constant throughout the whole game that we need to state is the Bills' defense is something I've not believed in a lot over the last couple of years. I've been so hard on the Bills, I didn't give them any chance to win the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs last year. And the Chiefs' offense dogged them all game long, Kevin. When they did have to kick field goals, it had to be some crazy little option play, or, hey, it's right before the half or right before the end of the ball game, the Chiefs were forced. They had to punt one time when they were at the one-yard line. You know, they had to start from their own one. Buffalo never stopped the Chiefs, and that is a big thing, that Patrick Mahomes was so good that he constantly moved the ball up and down the field of what is thought of as the best defense in the NFL. Like I'm saying, I don't believe in the Buffalo Bills defense, and they were completely exposed. I will tell you this. You know what I thought the biggest play of the game was in what was, again, maybe Patrick Mahomes' greatest game, in what maybe was Patrick Mahomes' greatest drive ever, the answer drive after Buffalo used half the first quarter to go ahead 7-0. The emotion of the game at that time, yeah, Kevin, was important, and the Chiefs were about ready to go out 3-and-out. And Patrick Mahomes, remember how he's taken some sacks this year where he kind of tucks the ball under and says, I'm not going to fumble? He actually had kind of folded into that position for a second, conservatively saying, I'm not going to blow this, was spun around to basically be sacked when he did what? Flipped the ball to McKinnon to make a first down by an inch. That third play of the game, the third offensive play of the game, was such an incredible play that only Patrick Mahomes, not even Josh Allen, does that. Only Patrick Mahomes does that. Then he runs the ball down the field time after time when the Bills defense was playing with confidence, thought they were the best in the league, and all those kind of things. That was Buffalo's chance. Force a 3-and-out, get the ball back, probably get down and lead 10-14-0 and go, you're just like New England, man. We are going to pound you with our offense. We're going to go for fourth down. The Chiefs could have been reeling, but on the third play of the game, I thought that is the biggest play of the game. That drive where he scrambled and ran and even got that touchdown run, Patrick Mahomes didn't do it with spectacular passing. He showed him, I can do it just as well as Josh Allen does, running. And after that, he broke the Bills down all game long. It is unbelievable how good the Chiefs offense was all day. They dominated the Bills, and Buffalo almost matched it, to their credit. But I thought the reason why Buffalo caused a little bit of a problem for themselves is they have been too much Josh Allen-centric. They put the game on him, Kevin, and that's one of the criticisms I've had that I don't think they're going to beat the Chiefs, is they don't rely on the big three. They rely on one guy. Then once in a while you see Stephon Diggs, you know, make a play or something. But it's really just Josh Allen running, throwing, scrambling. It's all Josh Allen. You don't win that way. Guess what? I actually think that they hurt themselves, that they got away from that for a little bit in the second quarter and early third. They actually said, let's be better as a team, not just Mr. Josh Allen. And it backfired until they were behind by double digits. And then guess what they said? Okay, Josh, just start playing, man. And he almost won the game. So it was incredible, incredible for Josh Allen.
It's unbelievable because what gets lost in all this, what really gets lost is Josh Allen went down and won the football game twice. He throws a touchdown with a 1:54 to go, right? And then he does it with 13 seconds left. 13 seconds. He throws a touchdown pass. He breaks Kansas City's heart. Stan, come on. That game was over.
And a two-point, Kevin. Don't forget, the two-point
right.
was critical as well.
Yes.
The first one, with a 1:50 left, If he doesn't get the 2-point conversion with that unbelievable scram, you know what you and I were saying? Chiefs going to win on a field goal,
right?
I mean, there's no doubt. All the fans in the country watching were going, if he doesn't make that 2-point conversion, then the Chiefs got this. But the Chiefs went down and scored a touchdown because Tyreek Hill, unbelievable.
And when the Chiefs scored that touchdown, what did you say? You probably said it out loud. There's too much time left on the clock. Of course
exactly.
There is.
One minute, 1 second, right? Or something like
of
that.
Of course. And then the Chiefs have, Stan, I'm serious. I can't, I've been doing this my whole life, right? We've talked about football forever. 13 seconds left. No. Okay. Buffalo, you talked about the fact that they didn't, do defensive holding, which probably would have won the game for them. Why didn't they squib kick? Kick it to one of the up guys who would have grabbed the ball and run it for 4 or 5 seconds, and Mahomes would not have had 13 seconds left. It sounds ridiculous to say, why did they kick it through the end zone? What the heck was Buffalo thinking? Take a few seconds off the clock. Field position didn't matter. The clock was the only thing left. What were they thinking?
I know, but, come on, Kevin. How great are the Chiefs? Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. That you have to worry about 13 seconds versus 10. No, come on. It is unbelievable. And the field goal wasn't a 62-yarder. I thought they could kick a 62-yarder, Here we go. The Chiefs are going to tie this thing if Buffalo messes up at all. But no, it was just a nice little striker at 48, 49 yards, drill it through, and Bucker makes sure he's not Lynn Elliott. Boy, what a pressure kick that was, right, after he'd left 4 points out there. You think the Chiefs fan will be talking about that today? So Bucker makes the kick. The Chiefs just incredible. And Patrick Mahomes, when they go back in great plays, you do plus and minus. You don't get super A pluses, even though the sidearm throw was one of the most incredible throws ever. Much harder than like a no-look throw or even a left-handed pass. To be on the move and fire a ball around a guy upfield, that is incredible. Anyway, when you go grade, you just do, plus or minus. And then they say you graded out 97% today. They don't give you extra credit for an excellent play. Like Josh Allen's bomb, Kevin, that's just a plus. Good read, good throw. But I don't know where you have any minuses for Patrick Mahomes. I mean, where were they?
I mean,
he did not make a bad play all day long. That is so hard, Kevin, under the stress. I mean, Josh was incredible because Arrowhead crowd was awesome and all the pressure, and he hadn't done it before, and he's got to do it more off by himself, and it was unbelievable. He came back twice, but Patrick Mahomes from the first series of the game down 7-0, I'm telling you, if they would have punted 3 and out, I think Buffalo would have ended up winning the game. But he makes the play, he makes the scrambles, and he just continues to do it all day long against the best defense in the NFL, at least statistically. He played the best game I think he's ever played, and he needed absolutely every bit of it to end up winning the game.
378 yards. Both these quarterbacks were flawless. They didn't throw a pick. They both led their teams in rushing, in addition to what they did with their arms. Insane play by both these quarterbacks. And Jessica's watching Stan, and she's getting frustrated. She's like, why can't we stop him? She's watching Josh Allen. She's like, why? Wow, get him, tackle him. 4th and 13, whoop, touchdown. You know, it's like, why can't we stop? I said, Jessica, you know all these plays you've watched Patrick Mahomes make the last few years? All these plays? It isn't because their defense sucked. It's because Mahomes and the Chiefs are great. They're facing a team that's that good. This sounds ridiculous to say in a game like this, Stan. Please tell me I'm wrong. I dare you to tell me I'm wrong. I thought the Chiefs' defense was pretty good last night.
Yeah, because, again, I'll say I saw this game as a scattergraph of any possibility. I mean, I really thought it was even game, but could be played out many different ways. And so the thing that I ultimately said as one variable, I said, watch this. Is Singletary going to be able to run the football? Because he has the latter half of the season, and that makes it different than the Buffalo I evaluated earlier in the year when he beat the Chiefs. And the two times they beat them last year when they beat Buffalo, I thought it's just a Josh Allen show. He had to run the ball. He had no running game, Kevin. So I said, Singletary, if he can run the ball against the Chiefs, that may be the dynamic to watch, because that may take Buffalo over to be a balanced offense and make their passing game better and just give them enough to be a legitimate team to beat the Chiefs. Well, guess what? They stuffed him, other than the first possession. Buffalo looked good on the first possession. Singletary looked good. But after that, he was a non-factor. Right there, very good defense. Number two, Josh Allen got his yards, but he only got his yards at certain little pops. When they needed to just turn and run the football, the Chiefs defended it pretty well. And that doesn't usually happen. When Buffalo runs that sweep, usually he gets 8-10 yards or 30 yards, and the Chiefs made it very, very hard. Bolton made a couple of great plays, forcing Buffalo to punt. And every punt, how valuable was a punt in this game? They're so hard to come by. Weren't you surprised when anybody was forced to punt, not go to for fourth down or kick a field goal? But a couple of plays occurred. So, yeah, I do think the Chiefs did some things. And the Chiefs got burned on a fourth down pass down the middle. But I do want to point out a strategy that's important to think about. Steve Spagnuolo played it perfectly. After the Bills were in scoring position, it's probably that touchdown right near the two-minute warning. It was 2nd down and 7 or something like that. And he brought an all-out blitz and risked a big play downfield. And remember, Steve was over there and knocked the ball away, Kevin, creating 3rd and long. That was such a brilliant play because the dynamics of what football is about. It's something you learn almost in arena football. You need to drive them backwards. You need to stop them right here and create a negative play or force them to make a great play and score and get Patrick Mahomes more time, right? I mean, you don't lose anything. Just playing base defense and trying to stop Buffalo, they were going to score. So he played it perfectly to force them into that 4th and long, and yet you still saw Buffalo make a play. Pretty incredible. But I thought Spagnuolo's strategy was flat out brilliant. He risked giving up a score earlier than people thought he should just because he's got Patrick Mahomes in his back pocket. So go make something happen. And that's the way you got to play football, Kevin. And that's why the Chiefs are more effective on defense than maybe what some of the stats say, is because when it becomes pressure time, they don't fall. What did Buffalo do at the end of the game? Fall further and further back and make it easy for the Chiefs to get underneath yardage, right? We talked about that. Do the Chiefs ever do that? No. They're on their toes. Even the touchdown throws down the middle, one of them, the Bills were behind the Chiefs. And the other one, it was equal to being beat over the top. You might say, that is ridiculous. How can we get beat over the top? You know what? That's a great strategy. Get on your toes, attack. Don't let anything easy underneath occur. Put pressure on the quarterback. Make them make a play. This is great strategy that plays in only with if you got an offense that can pull the rabbit out of the hat. And now we got a new rabbit. This rabbit You know, you've seen a rabbit been pulled out of a hat, Kevin, but you've never seen that little hat and a 72-pound rabbit pulled out, okay? 13 seconds left. There's a new size rabbit being pulled out of the hat by the Chiefs. Just incredible. And they get a move on, and everything fell the Chiefs' way all weekend.
It's unbelievable.
They had to win that game, but it fell their way all weekend long.
So,
what about Tom Brady? Oh, he's not playing anymore. Hey, how about Aaron Rodgers? He would be a hard out in a Super Bowl setting. Oh, he's not there anymore. And what about the Chiefs get a home game in the AFC Championship game?
They are overwhelming and ridiculous favorites now to win the Super Bowl. And I'm just going to go ahead and call it. It's Monday morning. There'll be no drama on Sunday. The Chiefs are going to pound the Bengals. They're going to win this game by double digits. They're going to do it. The Bengals are fine. They're a nice team. We love their young quarterback. They are not ready. That's not how this works. Look, as Chiefs fans, we saw this forever, Stan. We watched Brady always go to the Super Bowl. We watched Peyton Manning. We watched this. The Chiefs have been there, done that. The Bengals have not. I'm sorry. I've watched enough football to know how this ends. The Chiefs win this game and go to the Super Bowl. And will it be a great Super Bowl? Maybe it's a rematch. Maybe it's the Niners. Maybe it's the Rams. I don't know. The Chiefs are overwhelming favorites right now to win this thing. This is crazy. The Cincinnati Bengals are coming to Arrowhead. If I asked you in July when they went to training camp, hey, Stan, here's the deal. Chiefs are going to be playing at home against the Bengals for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Are you kidding me? You're joking, right? I mean, seriously, they're a nice football team. But it's the Chiefs have this, do they not? Am I crazy?
No, it's really well said, and your analysis is very good. Yeah, it's one thing to get to the playoffs. It's another to win playoff games. It's another to win championship games, and then obviously a whole nother one to win a Super Bowl. These are growing steps. Very few times do people just blow through all of them and have everything go right. Think about the Rams. They may go to the Super Bowl. They did in 2018, but they didn't play well at all against New England, did they? They didn't look like themselves at all with Goff and that offense lighting things up. Nope, they hardly scored in the Super Bowl. It was just too big for them. Last year in the AFC Championship game, we were sitting here talking this confidently, not only because the Chiefs were really good and coming off the Super Bowl, but I said there's no way Buffalo's ready for this. You know, congratulations for making it to the AFC Championship game, but they're not ready to take the next step. Coach, quarterback, organization, they built up from being in a bad place and they're working their way up. Congratulations, but no, Chiefs advanced them on. Well, same thing here. And Cincinnati is even more naive about all of this. I mean, they got a coach who hadn't had a winning record until this year. He's only his third year as a head coach. A quarterback that as a rookie last year didn't even finish the season. So now he comes back. I love Chase. I told you he's probably the biggest dominant, a big play guy in the NFL. He surpassed Tyreek Hill. Sorry, Tyreek, I saw that big plays at the end. I need to reconsider maybe, but Jamar Chase is a guy who can catch the ball anytime and go. Like, did you see him throw the ball down the line to him in a playoff game, and then he hit it for 50? I mean, he is that kind of dynamic player. You know I love Burrow. I've been talking about him as a legitimate deal since he was quarterbacking LSU all the way through, like his pedigree with his dad and everything else, but you summarized it very well. And put in another aspect of how good this has unfolded for the Chiefs. Going into the playoffs, I thought having the number one seed and getting a bye was a big deal because I really expected the first round, the divisional round, and then the AFC Championship game to all be super competitive wars, even for our Kansas City Chiefs. I expected three games that looked like what we saw yesterday. Didn't mean the Chiefs weren't going to find a way to win. If they're at home and all those kind of things. But I really respected the teams I thought was going to make the playoffs. But these things, the dominoes have been falling so perfectly when the Chargers and Colts don't even make the playoffs. And so they need to play Pittsburgh. And I spun last week, Kevin, and said, I'm glad we got to play Pittsburgh rather than sit out a game. I think it got the Chiefs in better rhythm. Both the number one seeds lost this week, right? So, you know, maybe there's something to it. But what an easy win that is. Like, here come the Pittsburgh Steelers. No chance of losing. Give away the whole first quarter, and you move on. Who would have ever thought? Not me. 3 weeks ago, I'm saying it's going to be a hard three games.
Right.
Then you win this game. It lived up to everything. But the Cincinnati Bengals are left? No, Kevin. This isn't even Belichick with New England, right, who isn't that good.
No, I know.
He would at least say, oh, man, we're going against Belichick, and what are we going to do? I said this when they went into Cincinnati because I thought the Bengals are dangerous. I like what Burrow does. Their defense is better than you think. They got weapons. They throw the ball downfield. The Chiefs play man-to-man coverage. You might get called for penalties. Did you notice no penalties were getting called, Kevin, in the playoffs at this level? I mean, there's no COVID and no penalties.
Unbelievable.
This weekend, right?
It was so great.
The NFL just said, no COVID, no penalties. Let's
right.
go. And
yes.
what did they end up with? The greatest weekend
yes.
maybe in the history of the divisional round. But back to the Bengals. They're just not – Kevin, I said when they played a few weeks ago, I said, I don't know who's going to win this game. I really do respect the Bengals. But I said this. Whoever wins that regular season game will lose the playoff game. And I meant it. If the Chiefs would have beat the Bengals, I think the Bengals would have learned and come back and been dangerous. But now the Chiefs know all about what Joe Burrow and Chase is all about.
Right.
And they're going to learn from it. And the stage is too big. I'll be very surprised
Shocked.
If the Bengals can stay within Agreed. Double digits.
Agreed. I think the Chiefs roll. And you're right. I seriously, the Chiefs got a penalty somewhere in the second half. They called a penalty. And they said, that's the first penalty on the Chiefs tonight. I'm like, I've been watching football for 2 hours. And the Chiefs hadn't been called for a penalty yet. I'm like, this is great. It was just fantastic. If we go back to the Bengals regular season game, that's all it was penalties. One pass interference after another, throw the ball up. It was a circus. It was a scatter crew that hadn't worked together. They all apparently just went to Cincinnati and said, let's just throw hankies all over the field. Man, last night, that's this whole weekend. Great football. Don't throw the flags. Let the players make plays. Just sensational. I mean, terrific.
There was only
action.
One sensitive referee that just made me chuckle. When Ndamukong Suh
yeah.
walked by Stafford and he threw a flag
yep.
for talking. And then he threw one on Brady. And I'm like, dude, do you realize this is divisional playoffs? And, you know, you really shouldn't be worried about getting your feelings hurt back there throwing 15-yard penalties on NFL players like that. I thought that was the only case of what the heck. But otherwise, it was poetry in motion. We do have to state, as a fair statement, the NFL does so many things right, Kevin. It is unbelievable. Give them 10 issues, and they hit 9 out of 10 out of the park. And sometimes they get the 10th one right. But the overtime rule
is
a giant
awful.
Problem.
Awful.
No Chiefs fan should feel bad about that because in 2018, you got ripped
right,
off.
But
okay? So remember, Chiefs fans should not be embarrassed about taking this one home because in 18, they got ripped off. But that doesn't mean it's not a bad rule. Just from an NFL,
it's awful.
Us being NFL analysts, it's just not a good way.
No, it's
to
unworthy.
Have the games in.
It's unworthy of this league we love. It's a sport and a league that we love. That rule is unworthy of this game. It truly is. And there's a lot of ways they could shore this up. I mean, I've always felt like put the ball on the 50-yard line. Each team, let's play baseball. Okay? I don't need a clock. There are no punts. There are no kicks. Just go play the game. I'm good with that. Forget the field goal, Stan. You got 4 downs. Go play football. Let's play baseball. Can you imagine the Royals are in the World Series and they go to the 10th inning and they're playing, I don't know, just pick a team. They're playing the Dodgers. And the Dodgers score in the top of the 10th and the game's over. It's the Royals don't get
Royals,
to bat.
The Royals don't get a bat.
No, they don't get to bat. It's over. They won. Can you even imagine? Can you imagine? And the NFL stands by this for what? Player safety reasons? They're worried about too many snaps. They don't want overtime to be too long. There is no, I mean, you could put like 32 drunk owners in a room and they couldn't come up with a worse rule than the one they have. It's just dreadful.
The only one would be worse is what they had before, sudden death, where the first team got the ball, kicked a 48-yard field goal,
and it's over.
And it's over. Yeah, so at least you have to score a touchdown on the first possession, but that still doesn't cut it. And like the college rule is really unbelievably good, except
yes.
for they start too close.
Right.
They start at the 25. They should start at the 40. You said 50. I'm fine with that. But start at the 40 out of field goal range and let each team have a chance. If you ever watch college football overtime, they are so dramatic.
Yes.
And you can't ever tell if you have the – what's great is you can't tell if you have the advantage or not. You, as the plays are unfolding, you're like, I'm not sure if we want to score – you know, we want the ball first or last. I'm not sure if we're going to win this or not. It is so awesome. And then you watch the NFL, and we've watched it 2 times in four years, 18 and 21. 2 times in 4 years, and both times the Chiefs are involved. Fortunately, thank God, the Chiefs are on each end of this, right?
Right.
And what happens if they had lost 2 times at home if Josh Allen would have went down the field and scored That would be so unfair and so bad. Right. But it's one of the few things where the NFL stubs their toe on this thing. Otherwise,
I'd send the kickers to the shower.
Great weekend.
I'd do it at the 50-yard line, and I'd send the kickers to the shower. There's no kicking. There's no punting. You get the ball at the 50, we're playing baseball. There is no clock. We'll have a play clock. You got to keep the game moving. But 50-yard line, let's go. Touchdowns only. That's that. And two-point conversions. No extra points. Nothing. Just go play for it. Offense and offense is what I do. The NFL is so great.
I think you do what you said and just still have kickers because you can say, darn, I got stopped. I'll make a field goal. Can you match my field goal? Or if you score a touchdown, if you match me a field goal, we go to another overtime. And, you know, we can have rules in the NFL that are different for the playoffs than regular season. That's okay. They've done that before. So we can say, you know, the NFL regular season is only 10 minutes too, Kevin. It's not even 15 minutes. It's a little quirky. Like one team takes 8 minutes to score.
It's stupid.
And the other team has to like do a 2-minute drill to even have a chance. That's so weird.
Dumb.
But at least, or if you score a touchdown to start the overtime, it's over in regular season. I don't like that. But for the playoffs, they can make another rule. But it's no Chiefs fan needs to spend 5 seconds diminishing the joy of moving on and having a chance to win another Super Bowl,
right,
to be a part of an epic game that everyone's talking about. You know, the Hail Mary for Roger Staubach, you know, the fumble when Raiders played the Patriots and Tom Brady was a young player before he'd even won a Super Bowl. You know, that the Tuck rule. I mean, some of these games are things that are talked about by all sports fans, all NFL fans for many, many, many decades.
Right.
Guess what? Chiefs, Bills, well, Arrowhead, January 2022 is in that list, Kevin, and it might be knocking on the door as number one.
They should just go ahead and put a plaque up or something at Arrowhead. Andy Reid, they asked Andy Reid after the game, what did he say to Patrick Mahomes? He said, I told him, when it's grim, be the grim reaper. I'm like, what? Yes, there's 13 seconds left. And you looked at Patrick Mahomes and said, when it's grim, be the grim reaper. Stan, this happened after I thought we'd already seen it all this weekend. All right, so we'll finish with this. You called a basketball game that was insane on Saturday. Kansas was down 16 at the half, came back and won. And then on Sunday, in a women's basketball game at Kansas State, Ayoka Lee, I hope I'm saying her name right, scores 61 points in a women's basketball game, setting the college record on 30 shots. She was 23 of 30 and added 15 free throws. There were no three-pointers, and she scored 61 points. I thought the weekend had everything, and then the Chiefs played, and I'm like, I don't remember a weekend like this. Absolute insanity, Stan.
Yeah, she did it against number 14, Oklahoma, not a dud team. You know, a good team, so congratulations to her. KU, K-State was a game right down to the final seconds, which had people's attention around the country, that type of thing. And then the NFL all weekend long. But if you're just a local fan, man, if you care at all about K-State, KU basketball, and then Chiefs football, you are just looking around going, I cannot believe some of the stuff that I just saw.
Bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. The whole weekend, crazy. Just crazy, Stan. I love sports. And this is why we watch, and this is why we are fans. That was really, really great stuff. And I can't thank you enough, man. We're going to have a blast this weekend. Chiefs and Bengals, AFC Championship game. Remarkable. I mean, we're just watching history, and it's so much fun, buddy.
It is, and it seems so short that I spoke to you this amount of time. I mean, I'm ready to break down the other three games, what's going to happen. Isn't it amazing that this game was so overwhelmingly awesome? We just talked about that it deserves that focus, and we could go on for another 3 hours. But there are the other three games were incredible and has their own microcosms of unbelievable strategy and matchups and everything else. We're only to the AFC Championship level now. We still got two more Chiefs games to go before they hoist that trophy. Let's don't get ahead of ourselves. I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. It's just amazing. Second time in the last 2 years where they didn't have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, they get to have the game in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes has basically been flawless in Arrowhead, except for that 2018 overtime game where he didn't get the ball. So Chiefs fans, light it up. You put on a great show. I mean, what great theater. Did you see the fans just standing and roaring?
Yes.
In the first quarter, and then they had a reason in the second quarter. It never ended. Third quarter, they never had a time where they could just relax and watch a game. They had to roar to help their team, and they did it, even into overtime. So we put on a great show here in Kansas City, those fans at Arrowhead, and get ready to roll again, because unless the Bengals hit some just, you know, 360-yard plays, I don't think that'll be enough to beat the Chiefs even. It'll take some turnovers, some craziness. The Chiefs are about ready to go to the Super Bowl again. Already four AFC Championship games at home in a row. Playing in the AFC Championship game, period, is so cool. 4 years in a row. And Kevin, highly likely, three Super Bowl appearances in a row.
Fun
stuff. And we're going to talk about it next week.
I know,
buddy. There'll be another game left.
You're the best, man. Let's just have a great week. Thank you so much for your time, as always, Stan.
Congratulations, Chiefs, and all the fans. Isn't it great when you watch a movie that really gets you, busts you in the gut, and then you're still able to smile? 13 seconds left, you're laying on the floor, wanting to just bang your head against the wall or whatever, and then later you're celebrating, hugging everybody. Couldn't write it any better than this. You wouldn't believe it if it were a movie. So enjoy the happiness, man.
Fantastic. Thank you, buddy. Have a great day.
Okay. See you, Kevin.
Take care. He is Stan Weber, and that is so much fun. And the Chiefs are on it. AFC Championship game, Arrowhead Stadium, Sunday afternoon. Cincinnati Bengals are visiting. I want to thank Ron Buck at Buck Roofing for sponsoring the podcast. Bstock.net, your go-to. Hey, you want a new TV for the playoffs and the Super Bowl? Bstock.net in Olathe. Pick it up yourself or order online. And Amazing Garage Floors, online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. Thank you to all the sponsors of KKHI. Thank you to you for listening. I can't believe that I get to talk about this stuff, and I've said a lot of words in my career, and I've done a lot of broadcasting. I'm at a loss. I don't even know how to describe what I saw with 13 seconds left. 13 seconds left. Nobody thought the Chiefs were going to win that football game. So it's house money now, and that really is where this thing is. It's house money. The Chiefs are, you know, they've been there, they've won one, they have the pedigree, they've done all these things. But now it's like they're stealing. It's like they're alive and maybe shouldn't be alive. That's got to be a great feeling. Woo! What a spot the Chiefs are in now. Enjoy it. Thanks to Stan Weber, and thank you for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.